This is Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast with your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. This is episode number 16. Today's show is unlike any other. Most of the people that we've had on the show, if not all of them so far, have been professional wrestlers. Today's show is all about you, the people listening to the show, the fans. Today we have the ultimate fan, a super fan, WWE super fan, Frank the Clown.
That's right, Jonathan. That's it. I mean, because we talked to a bunch of superstars, legends of the business, and we kind of got to give it back to some of these super fans, these marks today. And that's a great term. I love that term. I embrace that term, Jonathan, because I kind of look at it as without the fans, you don't have a show. You know what I mean? You can't put it on. And we're going to be talking to none other than the super fan, Frank the Clown. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, which we will be speaking to. But today, I mean, we're going to get to know Frank the Clown and how he became Frank the Clown, right? I mean, we got to ask him these questions.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just going to start off by saying that I feel like wrestling fans are the most passionate fans out of any sport, anything in the world. I don't know how you feel. You know, we met by being professional wrestling fans. So
that's right. I mean, I remember meeting you at a few shows, Jonathan, local house shows, and you know, we knew each other from local events, and that's how it snowballed into another wrestling podcast. I mean, that's how it began. Is wrestling brings us together, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, and you know, wrestling kind of has always had. There's this stigma that the fans are dumb or you know whatever, but I feel like that has completely changed over the years. We are some of the most, you know, intelligent fans. We do amazing things. There's artists, there's, you know, podcasters, there's a little bit of everything. And, you know, it goes to show people like Frank the Clown, people like Brock Lesnar guy, John Glick, if you will. These people are going out there not because they have to, but they are fans of this sport and fans of this entertainment that we love. So it's great to have Frank the Clown on today. We've got a lot of good things to talk about.
That's right, Jonathan. I mean, to put it in perspective, I mean, there's marks of every sport, TV show, comic book. You know, people love football. People love baseball. We love pro wrestling. You know, it's our thing. It's what we love and we embrace it. And that's what's great about being a fan. And I think being a fan of one of the greatest pastimes of our history. I mean, I don't know. This is probably one of the greatest things in the world to us. And that's why we talk about it every week, right?
Yes. And I just want to kind of get your perspective on something here real quick. Now, in the beginning of fandom for this sport, the curtain was kind of pulled back to the point that, you know, you bought your ticket and it was at a carnival or at a sports arena or whatever. But, you know, a bad guy would come out, somebody maybe from like a different country other than the U.S. that always got people fired up. And people would boo them instinctively. And then your local guy, somebody, you know, from right here in the Northeast or whatever would come out. And the fans would cheer them. So that's really the ultimate beginnings of fan interaction in professional wrestling. But today it's a little bit different. So we have the dubbed IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community. How do you feel about the current fans? I mean, it's obviously come a long way. So
sure. I mean, the internet right there, man. The internet is probably the biggest, not buzzkill, but I mean, like, we're able to read spoilers now, you know, I mean, of things that happened. Like, back in the day, you only saw it on TV. And granted, maybe if you knew somebody who actually was lucky enough to go to the taping, knew what happened, or, you know, they even had those old school hotlines you would call. And it was barely what it is today. I mean, today with the internet, I think the internet kind of kills the mood a lot. And then you also have the trolls out there, and you know who you are, because all you do is shit on everybody. And that's it. You only get one S-bomb a show, maybe. But I mean, that's all they do. And it's like they just argue to argue about it. And it's, and you when you think about it in a perspective, it's people's opinions. Like, just because I like this, Jonathan, and you don't, doesn't make you a bad guy. Doesn't make me a bad guy. It's our personal opinion. There's thousands of wrestlers out there. There's, you know, thousands of gimmicks. There's a handful of shows. We like what we like. We hate what we hate. But today, man, I'll tell you right now, the biggest heel in the business is the internet. What do you think?
Yeah, it's crazy. You have the so-called smart fans that, you know, they if you look back at Batista coming back this past year, like, everybody, you know, hated him. And he was just he was just collateral damage, I think, for these fans. The fans weren't getting what they wanted. They wanted Daniel Bryan to be the, you know, the guy to win the Royal Rumble. And when they didn't get what they wanted, they turned on Batista. Now, that's nothing against Batista, who's a great performer, but this is where the fans start to try to get themselves over more than, you know, just sit back and enjoy the show. So I think that the internet has spawned a lot of this. And, you know, we've seen it on TV. Bray Wyatt is probably the best thing going in the world of professional wrestling right now. But do fans just sit back and enjoy it? No, they want to start chanting Husky Harris at yeah. Bray Wyatt. So, you know, I get it. There's lots of people that I think need pushes. Dolph Ziggler, you know, there's a lot of people that I really, really enjoy watching. But I'm not about to start chanting, you know, Kerwin White's caddy or, you know, Nikki whenever Dolph Ziggler's out there, because it doesn't help anybody. So
no, and that's where I tell you is that, you know, it's the trolls that were let loose, and it's like it's somebody drunk or trying to be funny that they'll start stupid chants, and like, okay, you're trying to be funny, but you're ruining it for other people. You're not doing any good out there. You know what I mean? Like, you're not funny, so stop laughing. And I think I told somebody to shut up when I was at WrestleMania 29 at the Hall of Fame intro. This is a true story. Somebody was sitting next to me in my next to my seats where we were at the Bruno Sammartino Hall of Fame inductions. I forget who was on stage, but somebody next to me from another country, no offense to other countries out there, I love you all, but he was chanting something stupid. I stood up and I told him to shut up. You know, I was like, oh, we're not here to see you. And, you know, I put him in his place because I was like, stop being a douche. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't – you're not funny. Nobody cares about you. You know, you're not trying to be a comedian. This is something we love. We paid money to see this. I want to see it and not hear from your mouth. Like, you're not funny being chanting stupid stuff. Like, get over yourself, you know? And granted, it's a free country. Everybody can think what they want, say what they want, do what they want. Sure. But if you're going to be a douchebag about it, then go do it at home because, you know, stop being a troll. You're freaking trolls out there. Get away from the product if you don't like it. You know, if you don't, go watch something else. That's what's the beauty about it. But it is annoying, though, Jonathan. But I will, to bring up your point about what you said about Batista, you know, I kind of liked how the fans kind of stood up for once to being that third person in the room in a way to where they didn't just sit there and boo and cheer. You know, they let a little bit out to where, hey, we're not getting what we want. Let's demand what we want and let's, you know, crap on him. And unfortunately, you know, even Rey Mysterio being number 30 got booed out of the Royal Rumble because everybody was hoping that it would be Daniel Bryan. And could you rack that up as being, you know, the product not listening to the fans? And I granted the fans, you know, they could have been rude about it, but, you know, you can only do so much to where you're not giving the fans what they want to where they're going to start crapping on you, right?
Yeah, and I mean, that was a perfect example, and I think that, you know, a lot of people lately have been dogging on Raw, and, you know, I think that they're at the point right now, kind of after SummerSlam, between SummerSlam and Rumble, it's kind of like they almost coast into the new year, so I think that right now fans are going to start to get agitated, and they're going to give them something that they want, and then, you know, it'll all be okay again, but I think that WWE obviously knows what's best, whether fans want to admit it or not, because guess what? They've been in business for decades now. So we may not always see the method to their madness, as they say, but it will all become, you know, evident before too long. So I think that people should enjoy the product, take it for what it's worth. Don't get too serious about it, because then that's when bad things start to happen. And I think that the famous fans that we'll be talking to, I think they have a good handle on this, you know, and I think that I'm very excited to hear what Frank has to say about some of the stuff that we have lined up for him today.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we can go on and on about this, and we will with other fans and super fans. We'll get on the show. But Jonathan, before we get too crazy into this topic, I mean, it could go on and on. We'll save it for another part two, part three, part four of the show. But let's dive into the world of Frank the Clown.
You've seen him pretty much every pay-per-view that you've turned on the WWE Network, Raw, SmackDown, live events. You can't miss him. He's a guy wearing makeup and a brightly colored rainbow clown wig. He is WWE's super fan, Frank the Clown, Frank Mustari.
You know, it's not makeup, it's face paint. We have to differentiate.
Wow,
that.
Wow. Calling me out already.
Immediately, I have to always call people out on that. So it's face paint.
It does. I'll tell you, it does sound a lot more manly when you say face paint.
It does. It does. It's like a natural reaction for me now. Like, I've been correcting people for so long that it just rolls right off my tongue without even thinking about it.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show. Obviously, like I said, you have pretty much done everything there is to do as a fan. We wanted to definitely get you on the show to just kind of talk to you and see, give the other people listening just a glimpse into the crazy life that you lead. I'm going to just start right from the beginning. So I'm going to ask you, do you remember the first time that you watched anything professional wrestling?
Yeah, and I definitely do. It was, I want to say like 96. I was only like 6 years old, like 7 years old then. And I was the Spring Break Nitro, where one of the outdoor ones they did with, it was right when the NWO was forming. So it was even before Hogan was in the NWO. And it was when Nash and Hall were just wreaking havoc upon just beating the hell out of everyone by the trailers and throwing Rey Mysterio into the trailer and then beating up like Scotty Riggs and Marcus Bagwell, the American Males, and like just all cast was just totally breaking loose. And then they got in their limo and Macho Man hopped in the limo and drove away. And that was like, I was just flipping through the channels like my dad back in the day. And like, I was like, we stopped on it. Like, I was like totally like captivated by it. I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I didn't know any better. You know, I totally thought it was real. And literally from that point on, like, I was hooked and I was like a straight WCW fanboy, like as a kid. Like, I wasn't switching to WWF. I was just WCW. I loved the NWO. I loved Hulk Hogan. I wanted to be him. I was him for Halloween like 3 years in a row. And I hated Bill Goldberg. And like, I was such a little mark from like when I was 6 years old. And now, like, I'm the same exact person. And it's like 18 years later.
Wait a minute. Did you say it's not real? What did I? What? Is this yep. True?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Creed, I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, it's like finding out Santa Claus doesn't exist all over again.
It's devastating.
I'm just going to put spoiler alert on this entire episode.
Right. Do not listen to this if you are, do not listen if you are a wrestling fan. You cannot listen if you believe.
Well, Frank, you told us, you know, you grew up during the Attitude Era. You were, you didn't flip the channels like us. You were on WCW. Do you remember maybe the first live event that you ever attended? Is there like a memory of that at all that sticks out?
I remember a couple. I don't know like chronologically when the first one was. I remember going to a couple Nitros, and I remember it was like Hogan and Piper on one of them. And like, I remember Goldberg was in the middle of his undefeated streak. So it had been like sometime in 97, he was facing Van Hammer. That sticks in my mind that he was facing Van Hammer and like squashed him in like 25 seconds, you know? I went to another Nitro. It was Hogan and Warrior, so that had been 98. That was like, wow. Warrior's short run. I remember like the ring filling up with smoke and just nonsense going on. And as for WWF, I went to a house show at the Allstate Arena. It was then the Rosemont Horizon. And, like, I remember the card was, like, incredible. It was, like, Shawn versus Taker and Austin versus Dude Love. And, like, I think The Rock wrestled, like, I want to say like Ken Shamrock or something. Like, I don't remember. That had to have been sometime in 97, 98. So I don't know what the first event was, but there was, like, a bunch of them that I went to, like, my dad brought me to, like, right around that time.
Yeah, that's a better memory than I have because, I don't have that, you know, exact memory, like the memory of the first show that happened. All I have as a memory is Jimmy Snuka versus the Honky Tonk Man in a steel cage match at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. And all I remember is Snuka pulling Honky Tonk Man's pants down and seeing nothing but a big white butt. And that's unfortunately one of my early memories of pro wrestling. I wish I had something good like Snuka flying off the top of the cage, but I don't know. That's unfortunately my memory I have.
Which is burned into your brain for the rest of your life.
It's there forever.
So right away, I'm going to have to ask, and I think I know the answer already, but as you were growing up and going through WCW, did you have a favorite wrestler at the time?
Yeah. It was definitely, like I said, Hogan.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Van Hammer.
Van Hammer is definitely up there, yes, as well. Prince Iaukea's up there, the Maestro, the Yeti. Like Scott Hall was definitely one. I still love Scott Hall of his day. I thought he was awesome. Like, he was just such a badass. And you were just like, just that totally like Joe Cool kind of guy. And you just kind of like wanted to be him. I would like walk around like elementary school doing the Scott Hall walk and like throwing out my papers in the recycling bin. Literally legit would do that. So like Hogan, and like I like Nash too. It wasn't like one of my top favorites, but just because of the NWO. I always like Big Papa Pump. He was just hilarious. Like, he was just always been so funny. And just, he's just such a maniac that you just have to love him. So I'd say like a couple of those guys. And Sting. I always loved Sting, even though he was against the NWO. I just was fascinated with Sting. Like, he came down from the rafters. I wasn't at that Nitro for the first time, and it was at the United Center in Chicago. Yeah, that was the first time he came down, like right next to the Michael Jordan banners and stuff. But wasn't there. Bummer. But yeah, Sting, Hogan, Nash, Hall, Scott Steiner. They was definitely all my favorites.
All right. Well, Frank, I got the question, pretty much the question that we're all wanting to know. Why a clown? I mean, when did you come up with your alter ego? And how long does it take you to put on your face paint? I got it right, Jonathan. See?
Yeah.
Face
paint. There we go. You know, it started – I wish I had like a really cool story for it, but I kind of don't. It started as a joke. There was a second clown once upon a time. That was one of my close friends. He goes by Dubs. It was before WrestleMania 24. We were in Orlando sitting down at like a Long John Silver, some like ratty ass fast food place. And we were talking, we're like, oh, we got to do something like to stand out. Like, we should go to the shows and do something funny, like to stand out. And we were like, you know, just shooting all these ideas out there. And he came up, he's like, why don't we dress as clowns? Now, he said it completely joking, like not serious at all. But I was like, that's genius. That's brilliant. Let's do it. And he's just like, whatever. So thinking it was like a one-time deal. So we went and bought like these terrible, gaudy costumes and like plastic clown shoes and gloves and hats and like just the whole nine yards.
The full Doink the Clown almost.
The full – and I'm ashamed of myself that I did all this. I didn't know any better. But we ended up going the first – it was, so this was 2008. So the first show we ever went to was like just some random ECW SmackDown taping in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is like 2.5 hours, 3 hours from me. And we bought like front row and like we sat around the TV side and like it was a hit. Like everybody – all of the wrestlers were giving us like fun interactions. Everyone that was sitting in the crowd thought it was hilarious. And like we were totally acting like assholes the whole time, which made it even funnier because like look at these clowns. They're giving Batista the middle finger. They're swearing like crazy. So, that kind of, like, it took off from there. So, like, we kept up with it for a little bit. And then, kind of like the rest is history. He kind of faded out of it. And, like, he kind of passed the torch to me in a way. And I kind of got really crazy and started traveling more. And then, yeah, I mean, here I am. I'm on your podcast, so I made it.
I mean, it sounds like you murdered him, is what it –
yeah.
I mean, that's
we have to find out the true story from Dubs and right. Get, like, another unauthorized biography on Dubs the Clown, what really happened.
I'm glad you read in between the lines there. I won't say anything more, but yeah.
So Yeah, go ahead, Credo.
No, the follow-up on that, too, is how long did it take for you to put on your face paint at every show? Is there a time limit, too?
I've pretty much mastered it now. I like to, like, joke around and say that I have different qualities of face paint. Like, I'll have a house show quality, a Raw quality, a pay-per-view quality, and then there's, like, WrestleMania quality. So based on what show it is, I put more effort into it. But I can pretty much have it done, like, within 10 minutes now. It's a pretty simple setup I got. I just put the red on around my face and my nose and then just lather my face.
Lather.
In
love
white.
It.
Yeah, with just all the whites. And so, yeah, I pretty much am a total master of the fine arts of clown face paint at this point.
Awesome.
Now, with that being said, how many wigs do you own?
I want to say like 4 or 5 right now, but see, like 2 of them are terrible. They're just like so gaunt, like just so terrible looking, and they're like really like puffy and big, and they're really outrageous. Not that clown wigs aren't outrageous as it is, but these ones are like a whole nother level of outrageous. So I have a handful. Like I have a slew of clown wigs I can select from.
Now I've seen you with CM Punk, and I've seen you with John Cena wearing the wigs. Are they hesitant at first at putting the wig on, or what?
No, they were both, like, stoked on doing it. Like, the Cena one was last week, and, like, I had a bag, and I was talking to, like, one of the WWE publicists that was with them that, I know, and he's like, what do you got in the bag? And I'm like, oh, you know what I got in the bag? And, like, I flashed the wig, and he's like, oh, my God, I can't wait. So that was, like, the last one in line for this photo. So I walked in there, and, like, he saw me right away, and I had the bag, and he's like, I know what's coming. I know what's about to happen, and I've been waiting my entire life for this moment. And I handed it, like, I bestowed the wig upon him. He put it over his hat, which is hilarious. And, awesome photo. So, like, same with Punk, too. Like, he was, like, examining it before he put it on. It was, like, feeling it out. And, yeah, so everybody was totally on board with it, which is awesome.
Nice.
So we've already established at this point in your career, you've went to, you know, WCW, ECW, WWE events. Is there any way that you can estimate how many live events you've been to over the years?
It's tough. I kind of break it down. Like, I had pay-per-view chairs and stuff, and like I think I got like 40 pay-per-view chairs, like just stacking up in a spare room. And then I've been to like the last like 9 WrestleManias, and then I've been to like countless Raws and house shows. So I mean, if I had to give a rough estimate. And I have, like, all my ticket stubs, like, locked away, like, in, like, a little, like box somewhere. I'd have to count them up one day. But I want to say, like, 150 shows over, like, the, like, and a majority of them have been over the past 5 years, which is just crazy. So, like, 25 shows a year that comes out, too. That's about right, I think. So, it's a lot. It's a lot. That's one thing for sure.
Now, you are from Chi-Town, Chicago.
Yeah.
In your humble, unbiased opinion, is Chicago the greatest WWE city, or what's a close second? What do you think?
I don't know if there's a close second, because we're just so far ahead of the pack. But, yeah, you know, I try to explain to people, like, that haven't been to a Chicago show, like, there's really nothing like it. Like, it's from the instant you enter that building, there's a buzz in the air. And, like, it really was – it meant more when Punk was around because, like, obviously he's our hero and, like, this, you know, the hometown guy and everything. So, like, when – you know, any time a Raw or pay-per-view was in Chicago and Punk was there, it was a totally different feel. Now, don't get me wrong. It's still, like, a different feel. Like, we had the Raw in March where, like, you know, some people thought Punk was coming back and we were just chanting for him the whole night. And payback and stuff. But yeah, it's just really, I think the crowd in Chicago gets it. Like, they understand, like, hey, we're a part of the show too. Like, let's make our voices heard and, like, let's be fun. Let's have fun. Like, we take, I think, like, everybody as a whole takes pride in, like, trying to be the loudest crowd every single time. And now, like, we, you know, we get the most shows, I think, a year here. Like, we get like 4 or 5 shows. We get a pay-per-view every year. And, like, they always seem to put on really big Raws when they're here. And it's not like it's not an accident. They plan around it. So, I would say, like, you know, New York's up there. I've been to shows in the Garden. The Garden's awesome. I've been to shows in Boston. Boston's awesome. And I've never been to Canada, but I know, like, you know, they need to go to Toronto more. And, like, the Montreal crowds are good. So, I mean, there's other crowds that are just, that are really, really good, but I think Chicago is kind of on another level.
All right. Well, you just kind of I was going to get into this a little bit later, but I mean, I have to go into it now. You talked about CM Punk. Obviously, recently you wrote an amazing article, kind of chronicling.
Thank you.
Everybody should check that out, and I want you to give the the link or whatever. I don't have it right here, but it basically chronicled your entire history with CM Punk. How do you think that WWE's changed without him?
I'm sure they've called him numerous times and tried writing a blank check to him, because the programming right now is just, the last couple of weeks in SummerSlam has just been terrible. There's no way around it. It's just they seem to get lazy after SummerSlam, and after SummerSlam to the Rumble, they kind of just don't care as much. And then like when WrestleMania season starts kicking in the gear, that's when they start turning it up again. And I kind of understand that, but I think it's almost like a one step forward, two step back thing, because after he left, Bryan got the huge push, and WrestleMania and everything. WrestleMania was awesome, and like coming out of WrestleMania, you had the Shield was really hot, and like you had Evolution come back, and Bryan was still champion, and like it seemed like everyone was kind of firing on all cylinders. But then like as time went on, now here we are, and like Bryan's hurt, Punk's gone, Ambrose is filming a movie, Cena, same old stuff, Lesnar, your champion's not on TV every week, and like there's a lack of stars, and like they're trying to push Roman and Dean and Rollins and Bray and those guys, but there's just not those they just don't have those superstars at the top besides Cena and like Lesnar when he's there, like Bryan, because Punk was like that number two guy. So without him, like there's a huge void, and Bryan is supposed to be that guy, and now Bryan's hurt, and like there's just not that guy that's there anymore. So I think they're really starting to feel the effects of him being gone now more than ever, than like right from the start.
Now, I know that you did have some, I mean, you still do have some sort of, rapport with Punk. Do you know if he read the article? Have you heard?
I sent it to him, and I haven't heard anything back. So he knows, he's gotten it, he's aware of it. Has he read it? I'm not sure. I think he's trying to distance himself from wrestling as much as he can. So, maybe he doesn't want to even take that stroll down memory lanes. It might make him sad. I don't know. And it was a lot to read. It was like 15,000 words. So like, I can understand, if he doesn't have the time to do it, but yeah, I sent it to him, a message to him. And, if he gets around to it, he comes out of hiding every so often. I hear from him every, now and then. So, he knows it's there, and if he reads it, awesome. If not, it is what it is. I still wrote it because I just wanted to get my feelings out there, and like it was something I felt like I really wanted to do and kind of had to do. So yeah, if he reads it, fucking awesome. But otherwise, it's there, so it's always not going anywhere. So it could be a year from now if he reads it, for all I care.
Yeah, CM Punk, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, because read the damn article, all right? Just get it out of the way. It's a great article.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh no, I mean I don't read. I'm sorry, I just don't. And I started it, and I was like, there goes the first part, and then I just was like anxiously awaiting the second part, and then obviously it was just as good as the first. So
thank you, man.
Do you think he'll return someday? I mean, they always let me answer this. Hi, I'm Frank. Never say never. But I mean, do you? I don't have a Chicago accent, but do you think he'll come back or?
Oh man, I don't know. Like I go back and forth on it. Like if he does, I don't think it's gonna be for a couple of years. I think like he's kind of got to recharge those batteries still. Like. He's recently married and he's got all this time to do whatever he wants. And like, he's got the money in the bank to like, no pun intended, like to do what he wants with his life. And he was really beat up before he left, and really, really beat up. Like I remember like having a small chat with him after a Chicago show, like it was in December. So like really a month before he left, and like, he was gone. Like that, after that contract expired in July, he was going to take time off, I think, regardless. And he's just, every time I saw him, he was complaining about how he's just hurt and he's sore. So I think regardless, like I said, he was taking time off, but I don't know. Like I could see him coming back, because I think like every wrestler has an ego, and it's not a bad thing. I think everyone has an ego. And I think like, wouldn't you want to get that proper send off? Like, yeah. Have that last match like in Chicago or something, or like have that last run and kind of get that, you don't want to kind of go out like that. Like the last memory of him with people is him getting chokeslammed through a table at the Rumble by Kane. And like, that's a bad way to go out. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was his choice to do that. But I think everybody wants to have that final send-off, and I wouldn't doubt in, like, 2 years or so, like, he gets that itch and, you know, he's back for that one final run.
Sure. Now, you talked about with CM Punk leaving. We talked about with Daniel Bryan out on injury and so on. Do you feel it's safe to say that the fans, I think more now than ever, have become a huge part of the show, not just as spectators, but being, as you know, the third voice or so? For example, like we had that Hijack Raw show, hashtag Hijack Raw,
yeah,
a while back. Do you think it was an abuse of power, just fans letting off steam? Do you think now with social media, fans can really be more vocal on what they want? And even at shows, I mean, some of the crowds, I think, the past year or two have been the most vocal I have ever seen lately, at least, at shows. Do you think, I don't know, do you think it's safe to say that they're becoming a huge part now, a huge part of the show?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that Hijack Raw was Chicago. That was supposed to be that. And, like, I'm not all for hijacking the show, like, you know, there, because there's like a line of respect. Like, for instance, I'm a huge Cody Rhodes fan, and like, I don't want to be chanting for CM Punk in Chicago during a Cody Rhodes match, because like, it's disrespectful. Like, you know, there's like action going on in the ring, like, go and chant for Cody Rhodes or chant for these guys that are there. And like, I'm all for chanting for CM Punk like in Chicago because it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, there's like a time and a place for it. So I think like these crowds in these big cities, like I said, like the Chicago's and New York's and like the LA's and stuff, they want to go out and make, you know, make an impact and kind of get their guys over and like, you know, like, we want Ziggler, like, kind of let the backstage know, like, the people backstage, the powers to be, like, hey, we want these guys. And whether or not they listen, that's one thing. But, you know, they listened when the Daniel Bryan stuff went down, because that, you know, that wasn't the original plan. And so, I mean, that's huge that, like, the fans basically almost booked WrestleMania in a way, which is like, it's awesome. It's cool. And I feel like it's starting. It might start again. I feel like they're going to go down the same road with Dean Ambrose, where like these crowds are going to start going wild for Ambrose, and like, they're going to start shoving Roman Reigns down everyone's throats. And I feel like it's still a long way away from WrestleMania, but I feel like that they're kind of starting to like go down that path. So it'll be interesting to see like if these crowds start going wild behind someone again.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, for those of you who don't know, most everybody in WWE and, you know, some in TNA and everything else, you've met. You've got pictures with just about everybody. Do you remember the first pro wrestler you ever met?
Oh, man. That's a good question. First one. I went to a Hulk Hogan signing, like, around my house. I was in, like, third grade. I got taken out of school early. And I was, like, at, like, some Tower Records or something. And I remember, like, I wore a Pokemon shirt. I just remember wearing a Pokemon shirt to this Hulk Hogan signing. And he, would, like, made a comment about it. He's like, my son likes Charizard. And, like, Charizard's his favorite brother. And I was just like, yeah, like, nodding my head, like, starstruck by him. So I think that might have been, like, the first time I met anyone. So I was like, you know, totally young then. Like, I think I met, like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan in some, like, bowling alley when I was a kid, too. Like, I have some, like, crappy paper 8x10 signed by him that was, like, from way back. So those were, like, the earliest ones I can remember.
All right. Now, Frank, you've been on DVDs, you've been on Raw recaps, magazines, interviews, just about everything else having to do with pro wrestling. Do you have a crowning moment of fandom that you've achieved, or is there anything that you've been on that you're even impressed still to this day?
I mean, yeah, it's cool. Like, I've been in the magazine a couple times, which is awesome. And like, I didn't even know I was in it ahead of time. So like, I'm just flipping through the magazine. I'm like, oh wow, there's me. Like, that's cool. But, I think the number one moment that I always look at was in 2011. It was Raw in Boston. It was just like some, like, literally a random Raw I flew out for, and it was the John Cena Mick Foley This Is Your Life segment. And during that segment, I was sitting like right, like, I don't know, like second or third row, like right in the center, and Cena was in the ring and he was kind of scanning across the crowd, and like, we locked eyes with each other, nothing crazy. And then like a minute later, like, Mick Foley, which is hilarious, is rambling on about something, and Cena's like, who are you going to bring out next? Frank the Clown? And I was like, and it didn't click with me at first. I'm like, wait, it's like, I really only heard clown. And I was like, what? And then he turned, like, my friend John, WWE's biggest fan. I think you guys are familiar with him. Like, he was sitting on the other side, and he's like, or the WWE's biggest fan. Now, John didn't hear any of this because he was, like, in his own little world. But I knew what was going on, and my phone blew up. And I was like, holy crap, like, John Cena said my name on Raw. I had, like, 1% battery on my phone. And, like, I was sitting by myself, too. Like, I didn't know anybody around me. So, like, I had nobody to take in this moment with. Like, I'm, like, scrambling, looking around for someone to tell. I was like, oh, my God. My phone dies. So, like, I hop my chair. The Rock comes out, like, Mick, and Rock battles Mick Foley. I didn't give a damn. So, like, I'm, like, running towards John. And I'm like, dude, do you know what just happened? He's like, no. I'm like, look at your phone. And yeah, like, that was one of the coolest things ever. Like, I was like, that I name drop on television, and that was a couple of years ago too. So, you know, I've done a lot since then. So that was kind of like the moment where I was like, okay, like, this is paid off. This is awesome. Like, you know, I had that moment forever to look back on. So John Cena, the biggest star, and all that, like, a big segment. Like, didn't have to do that. Awesome.
Very cool.
I actually think I have to I owe you something. I don't know, but in one of the WWE magazines, it said that, like, if I got a picture with you or sign guy or something, I get, like, 1,000,000 points or something. So
yeah, you get points. Yeah, because we have a picture. We have multiple pictures. I think we have, like, 1 or 2 pictures, I believe.
Yes,
so.
We do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that they're hanging above my bed, but but they may be.
I still need points. Damn it!
Yeah, you'll get your points. We'll make sure we get you those points.
One day, my own crowning achievement will be the Frank the Clown photo.
So now we're talking the current product. What do you? Are you happy with pro wrestling currently? Do you think that it's a really good time to be a fan? With, like you said, you know, the fans basically booked WrestleMania. We have Kevin Steen coming up, Kenta.
Yeah.
Prince the Vet. I mean, like, what are your thoughts on the current product?
Well, I, like, the last 3 weeks have been terrible, just absolutely horrible, in my opinion. Since SummerSlam, they just haven't been that good. Aside from the Rollins and Ambrose match at the Raw after SummerSlam, then, like, you know, I really love the Stardust and Goldust stuff that's going on. Other than that, like, I'm just, Raw last night was a chore for me. Like, I really, and, like, I tweeted about it. I just couldn't keep it in. I hated what was going on. I hated what was being fed to me. But I know they'll ramp it up. I know it's just me being, like, a jaded fan and just, like, wanting the best at all times, and that's not possible. But like you said, like, NXT, like, they got all these stars and, like, all, like, Kevin Steen and, like, DeVitt and everything, and, like, it's just awesome. Like, I can't wait to see them all debut, and, like, you know the future's in good hands. You know that everybody is going to get their time to shine. So, like, I'm not worried at the future or the direction of the company. Just right at this very moment, week to week on Raw and stuff, it's just not that good. And it's just that, like I said, the lazy time of the year, like, you know, it's tough. Like, when Lesnar's not there every week, your champion's not there every week, it's different. It's unique. It's different. But once Ambrose comes back and stuff, and Brian gets healthy, and, like, Roman starts getting that real, real, like, he's really starting to get ahead on that push and stuff, and they find direction for Orton and Bray, like, everything's going to start lining up again. So, like, the pieces are there. They just got to kind of fit it all together.
All right. Now, speaking of Raw and stuff, or just WWE in general, or it doesn't even have to be WWE. It could be any place right now. But who are some of your favorite superstars and divas right now that you think would actually make Raw more compelling, besides maybe the obvious choices? You know, you said like Roman Reigns and stuff like that, and if we get Daniel Bryan back. But is there anybody that you really like right now at the moment? Even if it's not WWE, though, I mean, anybody in general that you're a fan of that you think, you know, would be doing good right now on TV?
I go back always to Cody Rhodes. I like the Stardust stuff now that they kind of turned heel. I like that a lot. I like to see him branch out on his own and do something, but, patience is a virtue. I'm sure he will. Again, Ambrose, he's already been getting that push. So, like, they're already, you know, they know what they got with him. I'm still waiting to see Sami Zayn get called up. I want to make sure he gets called up in the right position instead of just getting called up like Adam Rose and just floundering when he gets up there. And you know, like, some guys that, like, don't get a lot of credit, like Heath Slater. I want more Heath Slater. He's super entertaining. He's a good wrestler. He's hilarious. Like, I wish that they would do something serious with him instead of having a bunny rabbit, like, beat him up. And even like a guy like Justin Gabriel, who's like who I've always been a fan of, and he hasn't been on TV in God knows how long. He's not. I know he does stuff on NXT, but like he's super athletic. He's got a good look. He's been like he's proven he can put on good matches with the Nexus and stuff. Somebody like that would be awesome. Like, you know, like just give him like a mid run, like a mid card run, and like just let him like let loose and, you know, and be athletic and like it'll work. But you know, they have their guys that they want, and you know, we'll see how it, you know, with NXT and everything, if they how they develop like the Kevin Steen and everything. Like, it's gonna be really interesting, especially with Steen. Like, how are they gonna use him? So I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
So obviously, we've talked about some of the big events that you've been to. You've been to, you said, the past 9 WrestleManias, which means that probably you've went to the past 9 Raws after WrestleMania. I know that you were there for 29 because I did see you the night after at the Izod Center.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on like the fans? I mean, that night particularly, WrestleMania 29 was when JBL was getting chanted for, and Lawler, yeah, and the Cotton Candy guy, and just literally everybody. I mean, do you, I know that the fans just have fun with it, and it's a huge influx of the overseas fans as well. So do you think that the wrestlers and everybody involved enjoy that just as much as the fans, or what are your thoughts on the Raw after Mania?
Cotton Candy guy rules, first off.
Yes.
Glad he got over that night, yeah. I'm sure Randy Orton and Sheamus aren't thrilled, because I remember that was the match where the fans just didn't care and were just chanting for anything.
Yes.
And it was hilarious. Like, I'm sure everybody backstage thought it was hilarious, except those two guys in the ring. So, no, I think, like, now definitely the Raw for WrestleMania, since that Raw, and even, like, the one before in Miami, like, I think it's kind of become, like, an event itself, so everybody knows going into that show, like, the crowd's going to be wild because of those overseas fans, because of all the hardcore fans that are traveled to be there. So it's kind of become a spectacle in itself. I think the wrestlers have to enjoy it, because I think you'd much rather wrestle in front of a wild crowd than a silent crowd. Even if they're booing you or they're chanting whatever, at least they're chanting something. I think you'd just rather have that than silence. So, and I think it makes for like fun interactions, and like you just, it's so unpredictable. You just never know what these crowds are going to do. Like, the Yes was born at the Raw for WrestleMania for the most part. Then like the Fandangoing and stuff. And then like this year, the whole world, Bray Wyatt in its hands, those were all born on those Raws at the WrestleMania. So you kind of look forward to like, who's going to be that star this year that gets that big rub from the crowd. And like, so it's cool. It's definitely like one of the top 2-3 Raws of the year that I look forward to now, just because it's just chaos.
All right, speaking of shows that you can't miss, without stating the obvious of WrestleMania or the Raw after WrestleMania, is there one show that Frank the Clown can't miss every year? Is there one show that you just need to go to besides WrestleMania?
The Rumble. Definitely the Rumble. I've went the last 4 or 5 years, and it's so much fun to watch on TV, because I've watched it on TV in years prior, but like if when you're there, it's completely different, because like you're sitting there and like the Rumble's going on, and you're trying to like process of elimination, like who's left, who, how many surprise spots do we got, and like everyone counts down and gets so excited, and like this year's Rumble was a complete like shit show. But it was fun because like the crowd was so mad.
Yeah.
Everybody was just so pissed off that like it was so much fun to be a part of that. Like, poor little Rey Mysterio getting booed out of the building. It was hilarious, like, yeah, looking back on it. But like, you feel bad for the guy because it's not his fault. But yeah, the Rumble is definitely the one like I need to go to every year, and like I make plans to go to every year, like definitely over SummerSlam, over anything else. Like, Rumble is so much fun. Like, I strongly suggest anybody who can get to the Rumble. I think this year it's in Philly, so it's kind of near your guy. It's kind of near you guys.
Yeah,
oh, I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah, it's so worth it. It's so much fun.
Now you stated that you've got probably close to 40 pay-per-view chairs. Yeah. Is there anything else that you collect as far as wrestling memorabilia goes? Like, I know that you probably have an entire wardrobe of things that have been thrown to you as well. So, is there anything, like, I collect a little bit of everything, so it's just interesting to find out what super fans are collecting.
Yeah, I used to be a big action figure guy, and then I kind of faded out of it. Like, I was on eBay, stalking eBay, buying them in bulk, like all the Jax classics and everything. And then, like, once Mattel took over, I wasn't a huge fan, so I kind of slowed down. And, you know, so, I mean, I just kind of – I don't have anything, like, specific that I'm, like, collecting as a whole. I just – if I see something cool, like, on the website or, like, at a show, I'll buy it, or on eBay. But I'm not crazy about memorabilia so much anymore. I got, like – I print out, like, a lot of my photos that I take. So I put them in, like, an 8x10 form, and I, like, frame them. I put them up on the wall, so that kind of counts. But, yeah, I mean, I really don't have anything super like crazy a collection that I got going. I got a bunch of random like just weird stuff from like the years, but the chairs are definitely the most prized possessions right now, and even though they're just collecting dust, they're just cool to have. So
now,
yeah,
I just have to follow up with this real quick. You the other day you mentioned John Glick, who is WWE's biggest fan. I think he either put on Facebook or tweeted out a photo of a storage unit that he has just full of pay-per-view chairs. So I guess that we are all kind of saddled with this question, because I get it all the time too, is what are you going to end up doing with these pay-per-view chairs? And I'm do you have anything in mind or
Yeah, he's got a crazy – I've been to his – he calls his storage unit like the pit of death or something. I don't know, because it's just literally a black hole of wrestling stuff. It's hysterical because he has like over 100 chairs. It's insane. Wow. But yeah, I guess I could use them for like a wedding one day if I want to like be really unique and I can put wrestling chairs down instead of normal chairs or like a big dinner party. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, if a rainy day were to come and I'd be in, like, a really bad place financially, I mean, there's money in the chairs. I don't plan on selling them because I don't like selling any of my stuff. No, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do with them. I'm sure they're going to sit around for the next 5 years and do nothing. So,
now, Frank, is there anything else that you are passionate about besides the WWE? Like, are we going to see you show up somewhere else in the Frank the Clown gimmick? Being Frank the Clown, or it's just strictly WWE? I mean, anything else you're passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge, huge sports guy. Like, I almost say that I'm a bigger sports guy sometimes than wrestling, just because I've always been just sports everything, especially football. I'm a diehard St. Louis Rams fan. I'm going to the home opener this Sunday. I'm driving down there for it. You know, I'm a big White Sox, Bulls fan, everything else Chicago. But, yeah, so, I mean, I'm a huge, 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 huge sports guy. I've thought about going and expanding the clown horizons to like baseball games or football games. Football games are hard because, like, you know, in the sense of like getting on TV, there's not really a lot of, you know, time for that. But for baseball, I've been very close. And the White Sox games don't draw out here. Nobody goes to the White Sox games. So, like, tickets are pretty affordable. I've really came close a couple times to buying seats behind home plate, like first row dead center behind home plate. And I was going to dress as a clown, and like, I'm sure it would have been on SportsCenter and stuff like that. And like, there's still time for me to do it. People would be so confused because like, I'm entering a whole new world. Nobody would get it, but I think it'd be hilarious. I thought about going to a Bulls game and like sitting, like trying to sit courtside, which is insane priced. I'd do it like one time and that'd be it. As a clown, but then I learned Derrick Rose is afraid of clowns, so I don't know if I want to throw him off his game. I've thought about it. Never say never. I don't know. I do want to do the baseball thing, like, soon. I would love to do it, because I think it'd be so funny.
All right.
Yeah, so we'll see.
So another obvious question that we've wanted to ask is, other than WWE, are you watching any other wrestling?
Not really. I never watched TNA. You know, I barely watch. I don't even watch SmackDown. Like, I read the spoilers. I DVR it every week. I never really get around to it. I'll go and check out something if I hear something's good. But, you know, I keep tabs on, like, Ring of Honor. I don't watch it. I don't ever order anything. And then, like, you know, I keep tabs. Like, I watch NXT here and there, like, on the network, and try to catch up on that. But I'm really just kind of a WWE guy, but I have a good knowledge of what's going on outside of it, like, in the indie world and everything. And even, like, I tried to keep tabs like the New Japan stuff when like Devitt was there and the Bullet Club and everything. So I don't get around to watching as much as I probably should, but I'm pretty well schooled in all the other promotions and, you know, the indie guys and everything. So like all those guys like Kenta and Devitt and Steen and Willie Mack and everything. Like I'm super familiar with Steen, but I'm really familiar. I've seen their work on YouTube and stuff. And, but as for like watching week to week with TNA and stuff, no, I definitely don't.
All right. Since we talked a little bit about Punk, since he has left the WWE, who is currently filling your void as the new favorite? Is there anybody?
Whoa! I don't think you can say that on our podcast.
Well, you know.
Yeah. The void. Well, Punk, that void will never be filled. But I've always been a huge John Cena fan. He's always been my number two. Like, despite everyone hates him or whatever, is tired of him, I've always loved Cena. So, like, I guess in a way, he stepped up to that number one spot for me. Like, he's the one that I'll pay to go see. Like, oh, Cena's on the show. Like, this house. Like, I think I'm gonna go to a house show in Moline, Illinois, like in a couple weeks, and Cena's on the show. And you know, if Cena wasn't on the show, I wouldn't go. So Cena's getting my money in a sense. So I don't know if anybody's really taking that void. I would say Ambrose is next in line because I've always been a huge Ambrose fan, even pre WWE. I had like all those DVDs and stuff from CZW and like all the stuff. And so I would say like he's next in line, but like he's still got a little ways to go and to get in that discussion. So yeah.
All right.
Okay, so obviously we're beating a dead horse here, but you've been to anything and everything. Do you have a favorite match of all time?
Yeah, I always point to Punk and Cena at Money in the Bank. It was, like I wrote about it, it was the perfect storm. It was in Chicago. Nobody knew if it was Punk's last match. My two favorite wrestlers going down and like the biggest match of like the modern era as far as I'm concerned. And the crowd was the best crowd ever. It's sad because I don't think that crowd will ever be topped. So it's kind of everyone's fighting for second. And that match was just awesome. Like, the match delivered. It was awesome. And I think everybody remembers where they were when they watched that match and will remember for years and years to come. And I think I said in my article, my Punk article, it is sad because I can't see anything ever topping that for me personally. And I hope something does, but it just, that was the perfect storm of just my two top guys and just the perfect storyline. Everyone was so hyped up and it was just done so perfectly. That's why, as much as WWE might suck the past couple weeks, like, I know they have it in them to create moments like that and put on matches and storylines like that. And it was just incredible. It was emotional. It was just awesome. All my friends were there. Everybody got to take that in, you know, with me, and it was super cool.
All right, now you've gone to more events than I'll probably ever go to in my lifetime. But have you ever missed an event or regretted not going to it?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would. The one that's jumping out, I wouldn't say I hated myself for not going. It was just the idea of that I've been to the last three out of four SummerSlams. So just the idea of me wanting to go to like, you know, or try to go to SummerSlam every year. I missed the one 2 years ago where it was Punk, Cena, and Big Show on the main event and Triple H and Lesnar. It wasn't like a unbelievable SummerSlam by any means. I think it was just the idea that I missed a SummerSlam and I was like, oh no, like I missed it. And like I couldn't make it out for that one. Other than that, oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, looking back at, like, a couple shows, like, you know, like, something like the Nexus debut would have been awesome to be at. I would have never known that was going to happen ahead of time. So, like, you looking back and be like, oh, that'd be awesome to be at, but I didn't, like, regret not going. So it's like a SummerSlam or something like that. Another one would be the Elimination Chamber with Punk and Rock. Again, like, everyone knew The Rock was winning. The match was solid. It wasn't anything five-star match. But it just would have been cool to be there for that rematch because I was at the first one. And that match is never going to happen again. So that one kind of ate me alive a little bit. But so those are the two big ones, I'd say.
All right.
So for everybody who doesn't know but wants to know, you recently have been immortalized on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Several, actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, I have a pair of them, yeah.
So where can people listening to this get one of those shirts?
Yeah, they're on barbershopwindow.com, which is awesome. For the longest time, I thought about doing shirts, but I'm very self-conscious about, like, my reputation and my image, and I just didn't think that I deserve shirts. I'm just a fan. Like, I didn't think I thought I could move some, and I did move some, and I just didn't think I was all necessarily worthy of it, but, you know, the opportunity came a knocking, and I wasn't going to say no, and it was a win-win for everyone involved, and it's pretty humbling. It's flattering. It's really, really cool. I haven't shilled them out there as much lately because I'm like, oh, when do I stop shilling them? And somebody's like, never stop shilling them. So I guess I got to put them out there a little bit more. But yeah, they're at Barbershop Window. They're on Barbershop Window and like 1 hour tees. They're stationed in the city here by me. They do all the work for it, and like they're totally awesome to work with. Like really, their customer service is really good, and they're, you know, very fair and with everything they do, and their shirts are high quality, and they have like so many awesome shirts that are way better than mine. And like I can easily say that, but yeah, it's pretty surreal. Like my family, like my parents thought it was like hilarious, and like, you know, like my friends, and they all thought it was just like, some of them like thought I was like a total asshole for having them, and some of them thought I was like super cool. So hey, you know, if people are gonna buy them, I'm not going to take that opportunity away from them. So buy them up if you want. Hey, Barbershop Window. Yeah.
We're doing it. Jonathan, I don't know about you, but I'm ordering my Frank the Clown shirt tonight.
Absolutely. My only question is, I'm a little concerned that there may be a time when there's like a smoking hot lady that's wearing one, and and you somehow, you know, the two of you are talking, and then the next thing you know, you're making out, she's getting clown face paint on her, and you look down, and she's wearing the shirt, and it's almost like, you know, you're making out with yourself. And that's the only, I mean, that's the scenario that I've concocted in the 5 minutes that we've been talking about this. So just, you know, just be careful. That's all I'm going to tell you.
There's been a couple scenarios that have popped up, which are just hilarious. My ex-girlfriend, who I'm completely, was, you know, we're friends and everything now, she waits tables kind of like, we're like, you know, 15 minutes from my house, and she texted me like 2 weeks ago. I just couldn't, I thought she was kidding. Somebody came into the restaurant, got sat with her, and was wearing my shirt.
Nice.
And she's like, God's playing jokes on me. Like, what's going on? And like, I was like, who is it? She didn't know who it was, and like I didn't remember. Like I have records of who bought the shirts and where they went, and I don't remember anyone buying a shirt that was in Chicago that was local. So I have no idea who it was, and like the odds of that are just so slim. I thought it was the funniest thing, and then like I know another thing is that I can confirm, not saying I was there, not saying I wasn't there. But I know that there was somebody who was wearing a Frank the Clown shirt that got a lap dance at a strip club. That's all I'm saying. I can confirm that it happened. That's all I can say. And it wasn't me wearing it. So I'm not wearing my own shirts to the strip club.
Well, then, that's more than I would have gotten out of that question. That's great.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
Now, is there anything for, I mean, there's a lot of fans, believe it or not, who follow you guys, you, the Brock Lesnar guy, John Glick, all those guys, because you guys are the ultimate fans. Is there a next event that you know that you'll be going to that fans could see you at?
I'm up in the air. Night of Champions is in Nashville in like 3 weeks. I'm up in the air about it. I'm 50-50. I'm either doing that or I'm going to the Rams and Cowboys game in St. Louis. So we'll see about that. Otherwise, Raw's in Chicago, I think, the week after that. So 100% I'll be there. I think it's September 29th. Absolute lock, I'll be there for that. Never miss a hometown show. It might be like a house show in Moline the night before. I think like SmackDown's in Milwaukee the night after. So that loop, I'll probably do two of the three shows at least. And then Night of Champions again, like I haven't said no, it's totally a coin flip at this point. So one of those, so I got some stuff lined up coming up. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Now, I have to say that you've answered pretty much every question that we've thrown at you.
Yeah.
This is the time when I'm gonna bust out what I like to call the lightning round.
Okay.
So do the best you can as far as one word answers. If okay. you feel that you need to say something more,
yeah, I'm a rambler, so I'll try to keep it to one word.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna stop creative genius in the process, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one I'm gonna lob one to you right here. John Cena.
The man.
Okay. Another John. John Glick.
Psychopath.
Okay. TNA.
Sucks.
Heath Slater.
Hilarious.
Noelle Foley.
No comments.
I thought I had you with that one. Layla.
Smoking hot.
And lastly, Brock Lesnar guy.
Smelly.
You know, I was going to write beside what I thought you would say, and I was pretty close with most of them, so.
Yeah.
Not with the smelly, because I don't, you know, I haven't, I, whenever
oh,
I met.
Just take my word for it.
When I met him at WrestleMania 29, he was not smelly, but I mean, I didn't really.
Was it before the show or after the show?
It was after, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Okay. No,
it was open air, though. Let's just be honest about it.
That's true. It was a little chilly out. Yes, yeah. Yes. So, okay. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know, Jonathan. I think we've gotten everything out of the clown that we could have tonight. I mean, he answered a lot of stuff from us tonight. And, I mean, we're going to have to think of a lot more questions to get him back on another show.
Yeah. Before we go, Frank, is there any place? I know that you have a Twitter. Can you tell everybody where you're located on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm a big Twitter whore. I'm at Frank WWE Clown. I get on Instagram every so often. Same thing, same username. I got the T-shirts, barbershop window. I guess just look on your televisions. I could pop up at any time. I don't even know half the time where I'm going to wind up. It's a spur of the moment for the most part. Like, oh, Raw's in Des Moines tonight? All right, I woke up early enough. Let's drive. It's 5 hours. Okay. So that's kind of how my life works. So.
Now, just also, I feel like I should ask this earlier. With the recent iCloud scandal, are there going to be any, like, little clown pictures popping up anywhere? Or?
I sure hope not. I don't know. There's not a good answer for that, but... I think we're safe for now. I don't know if anybody's going to be, if they're going to hack into somebody's iCloud, I like to think it's not going to be me. Like, go to Kim Kardashian or like Eva Mendez. Don't go to Frank the Clown.
Nice. All right, Frank. Well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah, man. I appreciate having me on. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Jonathan. Wow, what an interview with Frank the Clown. I mean, it's good to hear a little bit about, you know, somebody else besides a wrestler for once, and just to get the fans' perspective. It's always good.
Yeah, he's got a lot of awesome stories. I hope we have him back on the show someday just so we can dive a little bit deeper, peel back the face paint, as they say. And if you're a big fan of Frank the Clown, you can definitely follow him on Twitter at Frank WWE Clown, actually.
Yeah, and check out his shirt, man, because if you go to barbershopwindow.com, check out the Frank the Clown shirt. I hope you guys listening right now, head on over, support Frank, because, I mean, it ain't easy being a super fan and going to all these shows that he does. So help the man out, will ya? We are headed to FWE's Refueled, sponsored by Vegas Fuel. It's a two-night event live on iPay-Per-View, guys. If you haven't got your tickets, head on over to FWEWrestling.com. Check them out. We're going to be there live October 3rd, but there's going to be a two-night event Friday and Saturday. It's going to be great. It's going to be at St. Patrick's Gym in Brooklyn, New York. Be sure to head on over because not only are we heading there, Jonathan, but who are we having on the show next week?
Next week, our guests are none other than Ivelisse Feliz and the guru, Sanjay Dutt.
That's right, Jonathan. It's going to be a great two-night event. So all you marks in New York City, head on over to FWEWrestling.com. We'll be there on October 3rd, but it's going for two nights. It's going to be a lot of great wrestling. If you guys haven't checked this out yet, if you're in New York City, please head on over to fwwrestling.com. I can't stress it enough. One of our great friends over there, you know, it's going to be a great weekend and a great show next week, Jonathan. But thanks again to Frank the Clown for joining us, and we hope to have many other great super fans joining us on the show as well.
Yeah, and if you like what you hear and you want to know more about Another Wrestling Podcast, please hop on over anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
That's right, Jonathan. You can find all of our links for Facebook to like us. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, that's there too. They're on the site. Go on there. Click it. It's 2014. If you don't know how to use a website or social media, then, well, I don't know. Google it, I guess.
Thanks for joining us again. And please tune in next week and every week after that for eternity on
Another Wrestling Podcast.